The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. So here we are, this Wednesday night, listening in on a sermon. And not just any sermon, but the Sermon on the Mount. Moses had his Sinai, and Jesus had a mount. There were crowds, and Jesus was teaching them. And if we're to believe Matthew's concluding words in chapter 7, the crowds were astounded, for he taught them as one having authority. And yet, here, right in the middle of this famous sermon, by the most famous preacher of all time, all we hear is the same old, same old. Jesus wants to talk about good works, it appears. And all he can come up with is almsgiving, prayer, and fasting, like the other rabbis of his day. You'd think he'd have done better, but no, Jesus seems perfectly content with the rabbinic status quo. So much so, it would seem, that Christians for centuries thereafter, even the young Martin Luther, taught that almsgiving, prayer, and fasting summarizes the Christian life, the Christian religious life. And worse yet, particularly for Lutherans, I suppose, Jesus even talks about rewards. Now, not quite the same as merit, but pretty close. Your Father will reward you. So as Ash Wednesday breaks in on us, and we brush away the cobwebs of our Fastnacht celebrations, year after year, we read these very traditional texts with what seems to be traditional advice. And not surprisingly, many of you will imagine that the next 40 days is all about discipline. A little less food, a gift to world hunger, a few more minutes on our knees, That would suffice, I suppose, were it not for the fact that hidden deep inside this very text is one remarkable, uncomfortable word that defies our addiction to religiosity. And that word is secret. So that your alms may be done in secret, and pray to your Father who is in secret, so your fasting may not be seen. I mean, if no one sees it, what's the point? Let's be honest. Now, before I go any further, it is important to separate the crosses placed on your foreheads tonight from what Jesus is talking about here. This ashen cross is neither prayer, nor fasting, nor almsgiving. Indeed, in case you hadn't noticed, someone else will impose those crosses on you. Now, frankly, I have to admit, I've always been, or at least I was, always worried about the seeming contradiction between this text and getting crosses on our foreheads, until I was taught by the 6-year-old son of one of my former students at the seminary. It was nearly Ash Wednesday, he explained to me, and the student wanted to make sure that his child understood that the ashes would be placed on his forehead. "I know," the little boy replied, "and I can hardly wait." "Really?" the father exclaimed. "Why is that?" And then came this remarkable response. "That's the one day of the year that we get to see the crosses traced on our foreheads in our baptisms." Out of the mouths of babes. The one day of the year. You see, view these crosses by faith, and they're not our working for any reward, but sheer baptismal grace. The one day of the year. But let's get back to almsgiving and prayer and fasting and consider that word secret. Not only does Jesus enjoin us to do these things in secret, but he also says something much more surprising, scandalous. "Your Father who sees in secret." 3 times, the same words. And I checked. It's in the Greek text, one way or another. So this scandalous word, secret, has 2 sides. The works are done in secret, and the Father sees in secret. Consider that first part. The business of almsgiving defines just how secretive this secret really is. "But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." What? You ever tried that? It's impossible. I mean, short of being a kind of split-brain patient in some macabre Jack Nicholson movie, who can be that secretive? And yet this is what Jesus demands. You want a secret? You can't handle this secret. And yet it's the kind of almsgiving Jesus is after, something so hidden from us, so deeply hidden, that only God sees. And this is not just a kind of secret Santa routine where we can at least secretly be really proud of getting just the right gift for a friend, even if they don't know who it came from. No. Occasionally, this secret giving of faith, however, may happen to us. 20 years later, or 30, someone you no longer recognize walks up to you and thanks you for something you no longer remember doing. "Are you sure you aren't confusing me with someone else? I mean, I helped you how?" That's what Jesus is talking about. That kind of religiosity is marked by good works that really happen to us, rather than ones that we so carefully plan to do. And prayer's no better, actually. In fact, it's maybe even worse. What sense does it make to pray where, at least for first century minds, God was least likely to hear you? The old translation was in a closet. Even Martin Luther, prayed by a window so that God could hear him more clearly. I mean, go to the synagogue or to the church, go to the temple, go stand somewhere where your example will motivate others. Go to church like Chicagoans vote, or, early and often. But in a closet, in a room, in secret? And the same is true for fasting. The point of fasting and 100 other good works that we can cook up is to make a statement, a witness to our faith. What good does it do if no one notices? I mean, if a good work falls in a forest and no one is there to see it, does it really fall at all? But of course, the other half of Jesus' statement is even more remarkable. The Father is in secret and sees in secret. What do you make of that? I mean, one way to put it is, the Father can smell a hypocrite 100 miles away. I thought you might laugh at that, but apparently not. So I'm getting too close to home, I suppose. Well, the Father is and sees in secret, in the secret places of your heart and your mind and in mine. The Father sees it all, and that makes all the difference. It even explains the reward, which comes not from the work at all, but rather from the goodness of God's heart. Indeed, a reward is nothing other than promised grace and mercy, like the cross on your forehead. That's the remarkable, authoritative thing about this part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He leaves the rabbinic externals intact, but nevertheless changes everything. Indeed, at the heart of his sayings about a Father who is in secret and sees in secret is the most remarkable promise of all. God sees. God knows. God is there. God is here. There on the cross and at the empty tomb, God with us goes public in his trial, in his execution and resurrection. And you see, to top it all off, this Jesus, who proclaims what has been hidden from the foundation of the world, proclaims it to you publicly, right now, openly, your reward. How? Taking bread, he blessed it and said, "This is my body for you. This cup is the New Testament, the new covenant, the new promise in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is your reward." So come this day with ashes on your hearts and perhaps your foreheads, and come to this table, this public feast. Here is the one who is with us always and who will drink with us in the Father's kingdom. Here, all is revealed. The Father in heaven sees into your secret places and mine and knows just what you need as Easter races toward us. Here's your reward, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Your Father sees in secret. This alone is the end of all hypocrisy and the beginning of faith. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And this good, rewarding God is where we cannot go and sees what we're blind to. For you see, in the end, God sees our poverty and gives us alms. God hears the secret cries in our hearts and, at this font splashes water on our face, and at this table breaks our Lenten fast with oil of gladness and quenches our thirst with the cup of salvation. And this God is visibly hidden here with the bread and wine, Christ's body and blood. And this same God, despite our best efforts, finally lets the secret out with forgiveness, with life, with salvation. So it's true. This is a remarkable sermon with a remarkable reward. What a remarkable secret. No, what a remarkable Savior. Amen. And may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.